Hi friends, welcome along. This is the Influence Podcast. If you're looking to inspire more people, have a positive impact on a global scale, build an influential and magnetic brand, and build a profitable business with your unique gifts and talents, then the Influence Podcast is for you. I'm your host, Jake Adam Davey, former high school French and Spanish teacher, turned international speaker, online business coach, and Instagram growth and monetization enthusiast. You can find tools, resources, and so much more on the website, jakeadamdavey.com. And you can also say hello on Instagram at jakeadamdavey. Please also, if you're enjoying the podcast, do feel free to leave a review. The more stars, the better, of course. But equally, if you're not enjoying it, you are still invited to leave a review. The one thing I would also ask is, of course, sharing is caring. So if you've listened to something or heard something in the podcast that you think you've enjoyed or would be useful and beneficial to other people, then please do hit that share button and pass it on to somebody that you know. I'd be so very, very grateful and so thankful if you did. Now let's dive in with today's episode on the Influence Podcast. Okay, welcome along. This is another episode of the Influence Podcast, but I guarantee you right now, this is not going to be just another episode of the Influence Podcast. I got something real special for you today, and I am excited to introduce our guest, Igor Kayfetz. Igor is an Amazon best-selling author of The List Building Lifestyle, Confessions of an Email Millionaire. And I absolutely love that title. So we'll have a chat about the book shortly. Just to give a bit more context firstly on Igor and why I've been keen to introduce him to you and to bring him onto the show. So a bit more about his background. He's the host of The List Building Lifestyle, the podcast for anyone who wants to make more money and have more freedom by leveraging the power of an email list. He's the founder of Igor Solo Ads, one of the world's top email traffic agencies, and he's widely referred to as the go-to authority on building large, responsive, very important word, large, responsive email lists in record time. He's passionate about showing other people how to build the list building lifestyle. And Igor, firstly, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here. Glory Man United.
I was going to say, you are the only person that I know who starts and ends every call with Glory, Glory Man United.
That's so right.
That is another reason why you're welcome on the show, for sure. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it. So just to give a bit of context, as I mentioned, the reason I was keen to bring you on, I mean, the show is, it's called Influence. We talk a lot about Instagram. We talk a lot about social media impact and such. And when we met, I think it was last year, maybe early last year, the thing that really struck me is that you actually come with a totally different approach, which is not necessarily about social media and it's not the be all and end all, but actually you put a real focus on the email list and building a database. So how did you get started with that? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's a funny story because I started with social. You know, when I got involved, I guess I got bitten by this bug of wanting to become an entrepreneur and having no sense, ideas, or capital. You know, I was reading Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that book is predominantly about real estate. But he also says, look, if you don't have any money and you want to start a business, then you should consider joining a network marketing opportunity because you'll learn the most important skill. And that skill is to sell something, which is exactly what I've done. I had no idea what network marketing was. So I started Googling it. And I end up on this page that shows this big pyramid, right? And I, obviously, I imagine myself being at the top of it, which means all the money is flowing to me. So I end up joining a couple of MLMs. Some expensive, some are less expensive. The cheapest one I joined was $10 a month. The highest price one is $3,000. And right. I go and I'm like, okay, what do I do? So I talk to my upline, and she tells me that, look, there's this cool strategy. It's called social media. And the time that I started, which was way before Instagram, MySpace was still a thing. So anyone who's listening, if you're old enough, there used to be a time when there was this guy named Tom, and he was friends with everyone in the world through this network called MySpace, where you can go and you can build your page. And you, it's kind of like that page was your feed. You could choose to go and update your feed. You kind of had to know a little bit of HTML. So it wasn't necessarily the most technically friendly thing in the world, like the social networks today. But I said, you know what? I'll build these MySpace profiles and try to get at people as friends and have them, you know, join my MLM. So I ended up building like 30 or 50 MySpace profiles that essentially all said the same thing. Hey, I'm Igor. I'm just a normal guy, but I found this amazing money-making opportunity. So you need to click this link and go check it out. In between, I would sprinkle this with my favorite music. I'd put on some clips by AC/DC, and you know, like I would just try to make it very, very personal. So whoever lands on the page doesn't just think that I'm trying to sell them, although that's all I was trying to do, just to sell them. But also be like, oh, look, he's a real person. He's got like a taste in music, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that backfired, did not result in anything. And then shortly after I started with MySpace, Facebook started picking up, Twitter came about, and I started posting on every social platform. I started cross promoting, I started a blog. And I spent a few years trying to siphon traffic from social media. And aside from maybe having a couple of signups, having lots of conversations that didn't go anywhere, and ending up in Facebook jail like 20 times for adding too many friends too fast, I really didn't pull any numbers. Like if I took all the money I've earned divided by the amount of hours that I put in, I probably earned a fraction of what a McDonald's employee earns, like per hour. It was pathetic. So I kind of gave up on social media. I switched directions and I started looking into paid advertising. You know, things like pay-per-view traffic, Google AdWords, Facebook ads weren't really there yet. I think they were just experimenting because Facebook started, they didn't have any ads, right? Which is when Facebook was cool. But back in the day, still wasn't a thing. And I looked into all these platforms, all these different ways to drive traffic. And I discovered this really unique way of getting traffic, which was email drops. And what it basically allowed you to do is to have your ad go out to a list of email subscribers that were already subscribing to some sort of niche topic newsletter, and you could put an offer in front of them. And that led to two things. One, it led me to recognize that I needed an email list, because apparently people who own these big email lists could kind of make a boatload of money just like that, just by sending an email with a link, which to me was a big revelation, because I was like chasing traffic. I was trying to get eyeballs onto my website, onto my affiliate links and MLM links. And, you know, all of a sudden I realized, wait, if I had 10,000 people on an email list, I could just send out one email and have like 500 eyeballs on the link right away, just like that. So it's kind of like a traffic source I was sitting on. And I really liked the idea. So since then, I've devoted myself to building my list, and email drops became one of the primary ways for me to do it, because it made perfect sense. First off, easy access. Like I didn't have to be super technical or create any exquisite advertising to get in front of this audience. All I had to do is just negotiate with the owner of that email database, give him, you know, one-time fee, usually much cheaper than I would pay to Google for the same leads. And then they would just drop an email to the database and we're good to go. And these people start clicking on my website, signing up on my list, etc. And that became the go-to strategy for me. Today, it's known as solo ads, thanks to myself and a few other people who really popularized the term over the years. And it's, you know, it's a go-to strategy for me and my students now to grow big email lists really, really fast, and then to monetize them with different offers, whether their own products or affiliate products or services even. And, you know, as we speak, actually, I woke up today, I had someone drop an email to their email list database with my link, and they've generated close to 800 visitors since about 4 p.m. yesterday that resulted in, I believe, somewhere in the range of 250, 260 people on my list as well, which come Thursday, we'll be attending a webinar where we're going to be presenting something, selling something, and, you know, as a result, probably going to be a big payday. So that's just become now my routine, if you will. And it's really predictable and it's scalable too, which is really important, because when we do talk about making money online, I don't think anyone ever said something like, I really want to make money online so I can work harder and get paid by the hour, right? I mean, anyone who ever wanted to get into the internet marketing space or digital marketing or make money online or social media, the idea is I work less, I make more, I have more freedom. So to me, having email drops and an email list is the leverage that creates my freedom, creates, gives me this ability to make windfalls with, you know, quite literally a push of a send button. You know, you write an email, you load it in, you hit send, done, and you just watch the numbers come in.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, there's so much we could unpick just in there. So what's the, for somebody listening right now and thinking, that sounds really interesting. I mean, I'm sold on this, but is it for me? Who would this be suitable for? Like, who could do this? Who might be sat there right now and thinking, is this kind of for me or is it not for me?
I think this strategy can be looked at from a couple of directions. First off, if you're a complete beginner, this strategy is something you should consider, because as a beginner, it's going to be very difficult for you to get into something like Facebook ads. You know, Facebook ads have become now so complicated that you need to hire an agency just to get going. Same thing for things like starting a podcast, for example. You know, I started my podcast a couple of years ago and I had to hire a crew just to start it. Then I fired that crew. Actually, they fired me because I was too aggressive and I wanted to do an episode a day. So I ended up building, you know, a different crew. And now there's like a team of five people helping me managing the podcast. So, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. With email drops and building your email list, you can be a one man or one woman show and, you know, start scaling yourself from nothing, from zero, and start building your income gradually. Because as you go and as you grow your list, you really want to think about it as, how much is one subscriber worth to me? And each subscriber has value. So it could be as little as 30 cents per subscriber per month. It could be as high as $30 per subscriber per month. So even if you're only making 30 cents per subscriber per month, you only need 10,000 subscribers in order to make $3,000. And $3,000 a month goes a long way for most people. So that's if you're a beginner. Now, if you are an existing product owner or a service provider, that strategy is also pretty cool for you, because it's just a hands-off way for you to generate new leads and new customers for your business without you having to give up half your day, you know, to managing your ads, or, you know, give 15% of your ad spend to an agency.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, perfect. And so if people are listening, like, do they need to have a product already? Do they need to have a service already? Or could they get started straight away?
No, they can get started straight away. In my programs, I teach them how to use other people's products to do it. What you can do, there's a concept. It's called affiliate marketing. So we want to think about it as, there's somebody with a product and they're willing to give you the lion's share of the sale as a reseller of that product, without you having to like sign contracts or buy exclusive rights to it or anything. Like, you can literally just sign up right now, get a unique tracking link. There'll be something like, you know, product.com/Igor. That would be your affiliate link that tracks your sales. And your job is to just send eyeballs to the link, and the link does the selling for you. And as soon as the sale takes place, you get a commission. Commission can be as little as 30%, as high as 90%. Some affiliate programs actually pay you 150%. For example, there's a supplement affiliate program that sells a bottle of supplements for $30, but you get $50 if you refer a sale to that supplement bottle. Why is that? Because the people selling the supplement have a whole product line on the back end, and they just want the customer. Like, to them, the value you bring to the table is you get them the customer and they work with that customer long term, because they know their average lifetime customer value is probably much greater than the initial transaction of $30. So they're saying, you know what, we're going to make it lucrative for you as an affiliate to promote this product by giving you a lot more money than the actual sale. So you can take stuff like that. You can take other people's products that pay great commissions, and you can use those products to monetize your list building, your runs or email drops or solo ads. You would be putting people on your list and then immediately presenting them with offers just like that one to help offset the cost of what it takes to actually generate the clicks.
Nice. Perfect. Okay. And so that's ideal for anybody who's maybe not familiar with the term affiliate marketing, or is just getting started, that doesn't have their own products and search. Equally then, for those people that do have products, is it something that if people come into you and they already have a business, they already have a product, they already have a service, is this something that you're equally recommending that they do? And would this focus just on their own products? Would they sell other people's products as well? What might that look like?
Look, I'm a big advocate. No matter if you're focused on just being an affiliate or whether you want to build something bigger, to always consider creating your own products and services, because as soon as you do, it positions you in a different light. You become an authority. Your recommendations have a bigger weight. My affiliate business, which is where I got my big break after I started building my list, my first income was from affiliate stuff. You know, I still remember getting my first check for $124.37 and immediately running to my dad's place and showing him the check and be like, "Hey, Dad, look, real money, real internet money. After 3.5 years of trying, this is real. We're going to buy groceries today." Well, actually, that's not true, because the check was from the US. I was living in Israel. So it actually would take 3 weeks to clear the damn thing. So I would take it to the bank. They would take the check, and only 3 weeks later, they'll basically mail it back to the US, to the bank where it came from. They'll have to mail them back with an actual physical letter saying, yeah, this check is legit. And then the money would go into my account. Nice. But the point being is that I was like, "Hey, Dad, real money. We're going to eat tonight. And you know that I paid for it, so you know it's real." So that was the moment when I turned my biggest naysayer, my father, into my biggest fan. But soon after, maybe 6 months after that, the kind of guy I am, I always try to push the envelope. I always try to see where's the edge. And I noticed that in the affiliate community, many of the top affiliates, the people who are making 50 grand, 100 grand, 200 grand per one promotion, meaning they could run something to their list and walk away with more money than I've seen in my lifetime at the time, they all had their own stuff. They all had their own products, their own services. Some of them written books, some of them didn't write books. So I was like, maybe there's something to it. And I went on and I created my own product that I sold for $5. There was just an ebook, very, very simple to create. Today, you can create something like that with ChatGPT. You don't even need to hire anyone. So the barrier was really low. And I started making these $5 sales, right? But what I noticed is that the people who got on my email list by buying my $5 book, which we now call them buyer email subscribers or buyers, they were much more responsive when it came to any sort of promotion. So even when I came out and I promoted an affiliate offer to them, my conversions were usually double of what I could expect from the other part of my email list. And when I sold my own stuff to these people, because they already bought stuff from me, you know, selling the next product was very, very easy. And once I figured that out, I said, you know what, I don't have to limit myself to just affiliate offers anymore. I can, you know, have the affiliate part of my business, but I can also have the actual product-based part of my business as well. So I started creating my own information products in the form of trainings and coachings before everyone else, you know, was a coach. Now everyone's a life coach. So that was like a bit earlier. And also I kind of started to maintain both sides of my business because they now built on top of each other.
Yeah.
Meaning that I knew that anytime I generated a buyer, it was only a matter of time before it would have an impact on my affiliate business. And so that created more cash flow for me, more success. It allowed me to put more money back into email drops. It allowed me to have the margin to start hiring some people so I can scale my business. So before you know it, I go from getting a check for $124.37 and dancing, you know, like I'm a shaman, you know, dancing around a pyramid or something. I go and I scale to 10K per month. Then within the next year or so, I take it to 20,000 a month. And, you know, before you know it, within a couple of years, I managed to go over $100,000 per month. Now, just to understand what sort of shock that was for me to see those kind of numbers come in. Back when I used to work at a toxic facility where I had to wear a full-on hazmat suit to go into the premises, had to fill these big jugs, plastic jugs with green gooey stuff that would then be placed on a lift and taken to trucks that would take it to the airport, and they would ship it to Argentina and Brazil to spray pesticides on all the vegetables, yeah, fruits. That job paid me, okay, a fraction of that, to a point where in 1 month I was now making about 100 times, if not more, the average salary countrywide. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people were, yeah, working their asses off, taking on overtime and everything, and I was producing 100 times that per month from my couch.
Yeah.
And that's all thanks to email, affiliate marketing, and stacking my own products as well into that whole product line. I also ended up starting Igor SoloEds, as you mentioned in the introduction, that also became a part of the services that I was providing, because I noticed that a lot of people still didn't understand how to use email drops. And I figured, you know what, I'm going to fill that void in the marketplace. And it just kind of kept on snowballing from there. And I guess to answer your question, can somebody with their own products and services use it? Yeah, they can and they should, because they can actually find other businesses that serve the same market, but in a different way, that they, yeah, can actually show up to those audiences as not as a competing service, but rather as a complementary service, and make a lot of money. For example, a couple of months ago, we had someone from the real estate investing space drop an email about our offer, which has nothing to do with real estate, but it still has to do with making money. So because, yeah, the psychographics of the market matched, you know, we ended up walking away with something like $70,000 from that promotion. Same thing when, you know, kind of talk about things going for full circle. A few weeks back, we had an email drop with the Rich Dad company. So that was like a big moment as well, because, you know, sort of full circle, because that's where I started, like reading Kiyosaki's books, and all of a sudden this company is running an email drop, yeah, right, to my offer. So it's just a tremendously powerful way, and a leveraged way at that, to grow your business, whether you have a product or not.
Nice. Talk us through some of the benefits of the email list versus, let's say, a following on social media.
Yeah, well, the first one is, there was this fascinating study done by, I don't remember who, but there is a study like that. You can look it up. And the study was all about the first check in the morning, meaning what is that first thing you're checking in the morning? Is it social media? Is it a news website? Is it your email? And the goal of the study was to find out who is the best possible prospect or customer you can have, meaning like, who's going to buy more stuff? Is it the people who check their Facebook first thing in the morning? Is it the people who check their inbox, or people who read news? And what they discovered is that people who check emails first thing in the morning are the absolute best when it comes to dollar for dollar value of how much they buy. And what they've concluded is that people who use email to review offers, they support a business by buying from that business, while people who check their social media oftentimes confuse liking a post or commenting on a post with supporting the business, meaning, I mean, obviously you can't take likes to the bank, right? So, but because they like your post or because they comment on your post, they're like, well, I've done my job. Now, another study done by MailMunch discovered that email subscribers are actually a lot more responsive, meaning that if you have 1,000 email subscribers versus 1,000 social media followers, according to that study, you could expect 20 times more opens. You could expect about 9 times better sales conversions as opposed to this group of 1,000 social media followers. And, you know, one day I was like, I mean, I believe the studies were true because I'm biased towards email. Yeah. But I said, you know what, I'm gonna test it out. And I actually had an offer that I released that I retired since that I called Voice That Makes Millions. And this offer was all about how to use the tone, the tempo, and basically how to use your voice to become more influential, to have more presence, to show more charisma, to appear like you got something going on. Yeah. Because a lot of it has to do with the tone of your voice. Yes, there's body language, but there's also, like, I think 30-something% has to do with your voice. And as somebody who's doing podcasts, records videos, and appears on webinars and talks from stage, you know, I took interest in that and I figured, you know what, I'm going to put a program about what I've learned. And I've partnered up with this expert on social dynamics who's got this tremendous voice, like not Morgan Freeman voice, but like really good, you know, like very, very cool. Instant authority. You want to listen to him for hours. So put together this program for $197 and I launched it to my email list and to my social media followers on the same day at the same time. At the time I had about 7,000 people on my Facebook who were following me, who were my friends, etc. People who knew about me, they knew what I was about, they followed me. Amongst those people, there were also buyers who bought my products, because oftentimes when people buy my products, they'll go find me on Facebook. Because that's pretty much the only network where you can find me besides YouTube. I don't really have an Instagram presence or Twitter presence. So they find me on Facebook and they add me as a friend. And my email list ended up producing about 200 sales for that offer, while my social media following produced zero.
Oh, really?
Zero. Yes, I used separate tracking links to know what's going on. And I didn't make any sales from the social media followers. And that was the last time I've attempted to promote anything on social. Because I figured, you know what, I'm just going to follow the 80-20 rule. And if 80% of my results come from the 20% of my effort, which is my list, I'm just going to double down on the list and not waste time on social.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Perfect. So, I mean, so many different things there. In terms of your journey overall, what do you think are maybe two or three of the biggest thing, like the say the most impactful things that have really either you've done something and you're like, oh wow, this is definitely the route I need to pursue, or maybe you've had a conversation or you've met somebody or you've been part of a group or a network or just kind of major kind of moments along the journey and along the road that you think might have had a really big impact in where you are today?
Well, first, having the realization that I needed to build a list was profound, because I've ended up building all of my day-to-day routines and the purpose of everything that I'm doing around my email list. In fact, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I check is not how much money I've made, but how many new subscribers I've generated, because in my mind, every subscriber has dollar value. So the more, it's like a numbers game for me, the more people I put on my list, the more money I'm going to make. Another concept was to recognize that there are many ways to skin the cat, because early on, I was kind of sold on just one idea. I would look up at a mentor and I was like, oh, this is how they make money. So this is the only way to make money. I have to do this. And then I would try it and it wouldn't work for me for whatever reason. And that would be, at one point, I even quit for like 3 months because I got tired of trying, right? And the third one is, I think at one point, I've learned a big concept, and that is that almost every failure I've experienced on my path to building where I, you know, the mini empire I've got today, is almost every failure is usually a road sign to the next thing you need to be doing. It's almost like the pain from the failure is I think Jerry Seinfeld said that, like, the pain when you fail is knowledge coming through, which I agree. It truly is. One time I actually lost an email list of about 100,000 people. Anytime I would email that list, I would make thousands of dollars. And the software I was using, you probably know it, AWeber, they banned me. In fact, AWeber gave me a personal, keyword specific lifetime ban. So now if anyone mentions me, if they're using AWeber to email their list and they mention Igor in their emails, the system will automatically freeze the email. And a support rep will be required to review the email. And
that's if quite they are an accolade.
Yeah. And if they're promoting me, they're going to be politely asked to stop promoting my products and services or to even mention me on their platform. And then the account will be unfrozen. So I lost the account. And that day, I cried a little. It was devastating because I felt like my well-being was, you know, a threat. And then I went out for a really long run. Like for me, a long run was 7 kilometers at the time. Like, I'm not a big runner, but I just couldn't stop. I needed to do something. So I just ran. And then I came back home, and the next morning I started looking at what could I do. And so what I found was a backup of my email list from like maybe 3 months before. It was about 60 something thousand people. I've went ahead and I've imported it into a different system. They allowed me to mail, and I was back on track within about 3 weeks, making the same amount of money. So that was a tremendous lesson, in that failure isn't fatal necessarily. Mm-hmm. And there are different ways to solve problems, different ways to skin the cat. And that, yes, even if you're going through something really terrible right now, and if you know, something you've tried failed, or you had something good going on and didn't work, there's probably a way for you to move forward and end up being better, even better than you started. So, you know, that was the day when I accepted that as an idea, because before that I heard it. Napoleon Hill always said, in every failure, there's an equal seed of opportunity. But until I went through that particular experience, I truly couldn't appreciate it. Because the other thing that came about from that experience was we ended up developing a piece of software that ended up dramatically increasing my capacity to deliver traffic to different offers. And that had a direct impact on my income in the following couple of years. That wouldn't have happened unless there was like the shakeup, you know, from losing that AWeber account. And looking back now, I can say, you know, that actually wasn't a bad thing in the long run. That's actually was a good thing just because of how we responded to the challenge. But many people don't respond to challenges that way. Oftentimes they'll just fold or walk away. And I don't think that's the right approach to take. I really think that anytime you're going through something devastating like that, it's difficult, but you can spot an opportunity. And it just requires you to just maybe sleep on it, you know, and maybe consult with a friend, somebody with an outside perspective. But usually there's a seed of opportunity there that people don't see.
Yeah, for sure. How important are partnerships, and how important is a network around you and around people that are listening to succeed, do you think?
That's a great question, because in my industry, in the affiliate marketing industry, we make money only because people understand the concept of partnerships. In fact, I can argue that we now live in a partnership economy where more than ever we depend on other people for exposure, for influence, for success. And it's really hard to go at it alone. I'll tell you that. So whether we're talking about a partnership in the form of business relationship where one hand washes the other, whether we talk about the partnership in the form of, you promoting a product that's proven to sell that you didn't have to create yourself, whether we talk about a partnership in the form of an email drop where you're partnering up with somebody for them to send an email to their database, and that's how you're choosing to grow your business, whether we're talking about a partnership in the form of teaming up with another human being with a different set of skills to yours that complement, and therefore, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 sort of situation. I think we are in the partnership economy for sure. It's easy to forget that given the fact that we spend a lot of time behind our screen. Yeah. But I think the screens is what connects us now on a level that wasn't possible before. Because I remember when my dad back in Ukraine, before we immigrated to Israel, he retired from the Soviet army after the wall came down and he started his own business. You know, now that I remember, he was pretty much relying on partnerships to make it work. Yeah. Because, you know, to get produce or poultry for his restaurant, right, he needed to partner up with a supplier of some kind. So he found a guy in the village who like had lots of chickens and lots of, you know, lots of pigs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he would do the same with bringing, you know, the incredible amounts of vodka you need to have in a restaurant. So he would find important. A supplier for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you always have to negotiate too. It's like, okay, I need this case of vodka, but I don't have the money to pay you now. And yeah. So you negotiate a, you know, net plus 60 to pay off the supplier. And so for that, you need to form a partnership. And I used to be really angry with him for not spending enough time with me. And most days he would come back from work drunk. But I now recognize that back in Ukraine in the mid late 90s, to form partnerships, you actually had to sit down with people and drink. You couldn't just have a Zoom call and have a handshake deal. You actually had to drink. You had to spend time together. You had to go to the lake together, go to the sauna together, whatever. Like you had to bond with some sort of non-work related experience, because then people would go like, you know what? I like you, Misha.
Yeah.
Let's do business together. You know, that was like everything back then. So now it's a lot easier. Now you really don't have to do that, and people are a little bit more professional. And I think now with the internet, the separation between two human beings is almost non-existent. Like you can literally reach almost anyone through maybe a couple of handshakes at most. And even if you don't have the ability to make a handshake, you can still find them on social media. You can still try and get their attention by emailing them or their office, go to their website. There's probably something. Sometimes you just buy access. You know, there are many people in the industry that I always wanted to work with that end up just buying access to by joining their programs and mentorships, and even you know, just begging them for private consulting. That usually works because they charge you, you know, by the hour at first, but then you can befriend them, and you know, at least you now have a communication stream set up, and then you can ask them for different introductions to other industry leaders. I think that's really cool, because that wouldn't be possible for me if not for the internet.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. I love the story of your dad as well. I think that's, I think a lot of people will be happy to go back to times like that, but yeah, it sounds totally different to today, but a really good example, as you say, for you in terms of the networking and the importance of that. And, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, which I think is a really nice, nice way of remembering it as well. When you started, because you mentioned that you started with MySpace and such. So I guess my first part of the question is, what was the goal when you first started the online business, and have you achieved it? And what is the goal now?
When I started, I was graduating the 2 extra years of education that I was doing in the Israeli Air Force Academy. So my goal was to not end up like most people who graduated before me, who at the age of 26 were still living with their parents and trying to save up for a beat down Seat Ibiza, or you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to have more in life. I understood the concept of working smart versus working hard. That's something that most people for some reason did not understand. And even though you know, I was growing up in a family where so my dad in the military, he was a tank mechanic. My mom was a music teacher, but I guess growing up seeing my dad being the boss after he left the army maybe inspired me to want to be the boss as well, want to be the boss in every sense, meaning not just to boss people around, but to have to be the boss of my choices, to be the boss of my time, to be the boss of the environment where I was spending time in. Because, you know, having worked day jobs, I never liked them. I never liked my bosses. I never liked most people that I worked with. You know, oftentimes I had to tolerate them. I had to basically suck it up and swallow my pride. And I hated that. I really, really hated that. To this day, I hate to swallow my pride, you know, and to have to be stuck with somebody that I don't like. And most of the time, if that happens, I now have the freedom to just walk away. And I think what contributes to that most is that I have runway. I have enough money saved up for at least a year to pay off all my bills without lowering the quality of my lifestyle to allow me to say F you to anyone I don't want to work with. So early on, that was my goal. And the goal now is, to be honest with you, it's just find another place to live. Because about 5.5 years ago, I was living in Israel and I didn't like it. So we made a decision and we moved to Canada. I since then got my Canadian passport, which is great. But I don't like living in Canada. It's very cold, 8 months out of a year. The taxes are getting ridiculous. And I just don't see it as the place where I want to stay for the next 5 to 10 years. So I'm probably going to be moving back to Europe, to one of the European cities. We'll see. I want to be closer to England, because I'm a Manchester United fan. So I want to be able to fly to games as well as, you know, go fly to Champions League games and other stuff like that. That would be my goal. And I think it's tremendous that I have the opportunity to just decide that, because I remember my parents deciding to move from Israel to, from Ukraine to Israel when I was a kid. I was 12 and that was a big move. That was a tremendously big move. Now that I'm, you know, me and my wife talk about moving to Europe, you know, we talk about it like it's another Tuesday. There's not much worry around it, because I'm taking my business with me, which means my financial livelihood doesn't get affected. Like when I moved from Israel to Canada, for the first 2 months, I was just putting my life back together, right? I was, you know, getting a place to live, getting my driver's license, whatnot. And, you know, my income stayed the same. Didn't grow, but it also didn't drop. So it stayed the same. I maintained about a 2 to 3 hour workday. Usually I would wake up at like 7, do my work, and then starting at about 10 a.m. I'll just get busy with life stuff. And, you know, I sustained that very, very easily. So I think I can do it again when I move to Europe. You know, now I have a bigger team too. So there's even fewer responsibilities that I need to be involved with on a daily basis.
Awesome. I love it. Well, I wish you all the best with the move, of course. And I think we in Europe will be great of having you here. And obviously, if you're closer to Manchester, there's a whole lot of benefits there as well. So just in terms of like people listening in, I'm conscious of time as well, because I know we need to wrap up fairly soon. But in terms of people listening now that have certainly been taken in when we were talking, firstly, at the start about this idea of not necessarily needing social media, that there are other ways, you know, the thing that we hear about every day is social media. Yes, you know, we teach social media, we teach Instagram. But for people hearing that there are different ways, how it can work if they do have a product, if they don't have a product, if they're just getting started, you know, at every stage of business as well, where's a good place for people to start, and how could people find out more information about what you're doing at the moment, Igor, and how that could potentially work for them?
You know, the best place to start would be for the listeners to go to igorsbook.com, where they can get the copy of my book, Lisbon Lifestyle Confessions of an Email Millionaire. I wrote this book specifically because I got tired answering the question about what I do, how I do it, how does this work, etc. So you can go and get this book for free at igorsbook.com. Plus, I will throw in a $3,200 in free bonuses because, you know, there is a caveat. You'll have to pay shipping and handling fee of $10 if you're in the US. And I think it's $20 if you're anywhere outside of the US, including Canada. So because I'm making you pay the shipping and handling fee, but I am printing the book for free, I'll give you the Audible version of the book for free. That's professionally narrated by a professional voiceover artist. So you don't have to listen to my voice for another few hours. I'll give you the PDF version or the digital version so you can read it on your mobile device or whatever. I'll also give you a couple of courses on list building and email marketing, as well as a training on traffic generation so you can build your list. So all this, you can go to igorsbook.com and just sign up, go ahead and grab it. And I think that's a great place for anyone to start.
Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. We will put a link to that in the show notes for people to go and access. I'm going to go and get a copy as well. And as you mentioned, the fact that there's all those bonuses included, I think just makes it an absolute no-brainer for people to go and check it out. And they don't even necessarily need to wait for the hard copy, as you mentioned, because they can get the digital version and they can get the audio version, start listening straight away. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just before we wrap up, I always have one final question I ask everybody, but just before I do ask that, is there anything else that we've not discussed or not shared or anything that you think, I can't believe that we didn't talk about that today?
No, not really. I think we've touched on quite a few points, and I really like the title of the show, Influence, with INN Capital, because I understand that part of it is about Instagram, IN, but I also think that influence does come from within. I think influence is a matter of self-image more than it is a matter of the outer world. And as soon as you get your self-image in order, you become a lot more influential. So just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, that ties in to the next question as well. So thank you for that. And the final question, which I ask everybody that comes on, is the title of the show is Influence. So what does the word influence mean to you?
The word influence means to me that I can get other people to do my bidding without having to threaten them with a stick or to offer them a carrot. In other words, it's the ability to communicate with other human beings in a way that makes them receptive towards the requests you're making and that makes them feel good about helping you in one way, shape, or form. To me, the first exposure to influence was when I've experienced someone like Tony Robbins. I was fascinated that he could be on a stage and in front of him there's like thousands of people and everyone's raving and want to touch the hem of the garment, so to speak. When I saw that, I actually have a letter that I wrote many years ago in a notebook somewhere. My wife still keeps it somewhere in a box, but it basically said something like basically described my life in the future, right? And part of it says, I'm a speaker just like Tony Robbins, and I do seminars and I do this. So like it had an impact on me, and I really loved the idea that I could be admired, desired, where people would be receptive to what I'm saying. Because growing up in high school, especially having immigrated from Ukraine to Israel at the age of 12, after I formed my personality, I had to I've been thrown into a completely different environment, societal environment. I did not fit in. I truly didn't. I was bullied and made fun of for being fat. My accent was really funny in Hebrew. I didn't have any self-confidence. I wasn't great at sports, although I love sports, but I was never good enough to earn respect through sports. And I've always dreamed of being the guy who walks into the room and everybody wants to approach him. Which is, I was the guy who walks into the room and no one notices. And I hated that. So I think I've devoted a big part of my life towards building that image, both internally and externally. And, that's what influence means to me.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. I think that's a perfect place to kind of leave it at this stage. I just want to say thank you again for coming on the show and giving up your time. I've enjoyed every interaction we've had. I've enjoyed joining the you know the networking groups and such that you've been running, and taken you know loads of learning for my own business from what you're doing and what you teach. So just a huge thanks genuinely for not only for coming on today, but for all the support that you've given prior to this. And are there any final things aside from sharing that link one more time, but are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with everybody just before we finish?
No, I truly think we've covered a lot of important stuff today. Build a list, even if you're not building it now, even if you don't make it the sole purpose of your existence, like I did, but build a list, because what you will find is it's like having a bulletproof wall around you made of dollar bills. Because like I got a friend who ran a YouTube channel. It was about sex advice for men. And he ended up building a really big channel with videos amassing millions of views. And then one morning he woke up and he had no channel. He started getting messages from people that follow him on Instagram saying, "Hey, I can't find your YouTube channel." And what he discovers is that YouTube just suspended the account and deleted the account actually with all the content, apparently for violating some kind of rule or whatever that they introduced. Now the good thing for this guy is that he built a 60,000 person email list while building the YouTube channel, and guess what, his income went down a little bit because he was making money from the YouTube channel, obviously millions of views, but he was able to stay afloat. He was able to run promotions to his products and continue rebuilding the YouTube channel from scratch. And he says, and you can look it up on my podcast, the same same title as the book, List Building Lifestyle. I interviewed him, and he says, if it wasn't for the list, I'd be going back to a day job or something, because I'd be so devastated losing all my hard work. So yeah, definitely build a list. And a great place to start is get a copy of this book at igorsbook.com. again, I'll print it for free. I'll give you $3,200 in bonuses. You will have to cover a small shipping and handling charge, and you can have it, you can read it, you can listen to it, as well as go through some of the other bonuses and courses that I'm sharing on how to build a list and how to drive traffic.
Perfect. Igor, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. For everybody that's been with us, thank you so much for listening. We'll put a link to Igor's book in the show notes. And probably the best way and the only way to sign off is to say, glory, glory, Man United.
Glory, glory, Man United.
Hi, friends. Jake here again. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. You can find links to anything that we've discussed, books, trainings, other podcasts, anything currently that we're enjoying, you will find those in the show notes, or you'll find it somewhere in and around all the information that you usually find in a podcast. And a reminder that if you'd like to know more about what I do, if you want more of tools, resources, any recommendations, readings, free training, products and such, then you can find all of that on the website, jakeadamdavy.com. Equally, if you want to come over and say hello, Instagram is always the best place, and the account is at jakeadamdavy. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't hesitate to leave us a review. Of course, the more stars, the better. And equally, sharing is caring. So if you've heard something or listened to something that you've enjoyed yourself and you think will be beneficial or useful to other people, please do pass that on. It will be very much appreciated. And as you know, when you get a recommendation from somebody that you trust, there really is nothing better. Thank you so much. And until next time, stay on mission, do something extraordinary for others, keep inspiring, and keep growing your circle of influence. Goodbye.